God's blessings to you as we look at our scripture readings for this coming Sunday, the very first Sunday of the Lenten season, where our focus turns from Epiphany and the ministry of Jesus and how he showed that he was the very Son of God, as we heard especially this last week, and the promised Savior in the Transfiguration story. We switch now to the suffering and death of Christ and what it took him for him to do, to be our Lord and to be our Savior. And that starts this week with the gospel lesson and its focus upon the battle of Christ with Satan and his temptation in the wilderness particularly. But all of our readings now are focused on those things related to Christ and his suffering and death for us. We begin with prayer. Lord, care for us as we again look at the scriptures, and we pray that you will guide us as we think about all that Christ did for us as far as his suffering and death and the sacrifice he made for us and for our sake. And help us to rejoice in that and to appreciate more and more what he has done, and to be confident then because he has done all that we need for our life and salvation. Bless us as we study today too, and just care for us. And we thank you for every bit of your word and what it teaches us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask your blessings. Amen. The Old Testament lesson for this coming Sunday is Genesis 22, verses 1 through 22. This may be a familiar story or maybe not to you. It's about Abraham and his son Isaac. And Abraham and his wife Sarah had waited such a long, long time for a son who had been promised by God and who would be the beginning through that family of a great nation and finally a future blessing for all nations of the world. But now, with that one son that Abraham has, God told him to take that son and sacrifice him on a mountain that God asked him to go to, his son, his only son, Isaac. And I'm sure it didn't make sense to Abraham. He didn't understand what God was doing, but he does what God says. He obeyed him at this point. Didn't always, but he did at this point. And took his son to a place that would later be the site for the temple in Jerusalem, and where Jesus would later on suffer and die in that area. That's how God directed him to go. And he was about ready to kill his son when God stopped him, knowing that he clearly was willing to give up his son, his only son, if that was really God's will. And of course, it was not. And the scriptures never encourage human sacrifice, that people should be killing their children or grandchildren or others to somehow appease God and make him happy. Only God needed to do that for us and for our salvation and his great love, but no human sacrifice of other humans. And so God stops Abraham, and he provided a ram for him to be able to sacrifice instead of his son. And that very specifically is said. And again, God renewed his promise then, as this passage ends, that in Abraham's offspring, all nations of the earth would be blessed. That was the plan from the very beginning, that God would send a Savior who would help people, no matter who they are or what their background or nationality was, that all could come to the Father's blessings through faith in his Son who came for them. And that offspring obviously was Jesus, our Savior. And he would be willing, willing to come and sacrifice his life for all of us. And the Father did give up his Son, his only Son, into death for us, where he did not ask that of anyone else, because no one but God the Son, become a real human being, could accomplish this work of saving and rescuing us. And of course, that's the message of the Lenten season. Well, the psalm is Psalm 25, verses 1 to 10. another of the Psalms of David. And of course, David was in that line of promise from Abraham on down through him. And eventually Jesus would also be a son of David from that same line many generations later. And David talks about the fact that he trusts the Lord and waited upon him. More than once he says that he waited and calls other people to wait upon the Lord, the God of his salvation. And of course, the coming of the Savior was a long time in the future, but no one knew at that time. And David was simply trusting God and that God would save and help him and his people. And he knew the Lord had been merciful and full of steadfast love from of old, David says. So he knows the history of God and his relationship with his people and his care for them. And David asks forgiveness for his past sins, sins of his youth and other things that he's done wrong. And even after, because the psalm goes on beyond what we read today, he again confesses his sins and asks God's forgiveness for them, and that the Lord would also teach him and lead him in his ways so that he could follow his Lord more faithfully. And he approaches God in a humble way and as a sinner and simply asks for the goodness and mercy of God and that God would look at him with his goodness and mercy. And of course, that's what the Lord did. By his grace for him and what he does for all of us as we come humbly to him and our people sorry for our sins and trusting above all our Savior. And the Savior is God's gift to us, really. It's not, we couldn't do all of this on our own. It's the gift of God to us as well. And again, that's what the Lenten season tells us. James 2, in our epistle lesson for today, that's James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18, near the end of the New Testament. James 1, 12 through 18 calls, first of all, upon people not to be tempted by their own selfish, sinful desires. And that's where sin often comes from within us. From our sinful nature and what we wish and what we desire instead of what God wishes for us. And there's warnings about that and how that can lead to many, many problems for people or for us too if we went away from the Lord and trusting him. And so James calls upon people to trust the Lord and that what we really need are his good and perfect gifts, this passage says, coming down from above, from the Father of lights, our Heavenly Father. And then very clearly, James says that of his own will, God is capable and in fact brings us forth by the word of truth, our Lord and Jesus, who is the word of truth for us. It's the word of God. That's a name, that title that's given to him. And he is the way, the truth, and the life for us, for eternal life. And so we're brought forth to a whole new life through the word of truth, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are blessed then as we remain steadfast in faith in him, even if there are trials and troubles, and it's a challenging thing to keep the faith. And we will receive then as a gift from God the crown of life, everlasting life, as we have been brought already to faith and to love and to service to him, and as we continue by God's grace in that gift. And James is encouraging us in all of that, and that finally brings our focus again to Christ himself in the gospel lesson and what he's done to accomplish these things, at least at the beginning of his public ministry. The gospel lesson for this Sunday, the first Sunday in Lent again, is always the story of Jesus being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. It's told several different times, and so one of those readings is there the first Sunday of Lent each year. And this happened immediately after his baptism, Mark tells us, and the anointing by the Holy Spirit for his ministry as the word of truth that we've already talked about. And this year's gospel lesson from Mark is very, very short. So it includes a reading again of the baptism of Jesus, which we've talked about in past weeks, and then the beginning of the public ministry of Jesus, which follows. But then there are just a few verses in between there that talk about the temptation of Jesus. And we pray in the Lord's Prayer, we're taught to pray to our Lord, lead us not into temptation, to help us to stay away from times of testing and trial and temptation, because we, in our weakness, can fall sometimes. But the Holy Spirit drove Jesus out into the wilderness, this passage says, to be tempted by Satan. He had to face Satan head on and resist all that Satan would throw against him in temptations over a period of 40 days. And then he certainly maybe even beyond that. And of course, it happened throughout his life from early on and during the 3 years of ministry that were coming as well, that we'll hear about as we continue to read from the Gospel of Mark this year. And other Gospels give details of this particular time of testing for Jesus, but Mark doesn't do that. Mark was probably written after at least Matthew, maybe both Matthew and Luke. And so there were other places where you could read of the particular temptations that we hear about with this event. Mark simply summarizes them reminds us especially that there were many other times he mentions in his gospel that Jesus was also battling demons, evil spirits, evil angels, Satan and all the others who were opposed to God and to his will. Mark focuses a lot more on those, the casting out of evil spirits and so forth. In Christ's battle against evil and Satan himself and all of his evil spirits. And we've already heard in past weeks of some of those. And I gave you a list of some of those just in chapter 1 of Mark that we've already had readings about. Mark 1, 21 to 27, where Jesus is preaching in a synagogue and a man with an evil spirit is there and creates some chaos for Jesus, but Jesus quickly casts the evil spirit out of the man. And it's a dramatic example of his battle against Satan and the victories he had as a result of that. Chapter 1, verse 32 mentions evil spirits and Jesus conquering them, 134 and 139. Those all chapter 1 and those verses. And this was really a very important part of this saving work of Jesus for us, his battling and defeat of Satan himself. And obviously, Satan is still alive and at work, but there's some limits upon him now. And we know the ultimate victory is won by Christ. And that's the key for us. Although Satan certainly can be alive and well and in what he's doing and affecting the lives of lots of people. But Christ is there for us, and he can help us through as we trust him too. And none of these battles that Jesus had were easy, but Jesus perfectly did his Father's will for us, and he did it in our place. And we get the credit, you might say, for what Jesus did for us. And all along the way, the Lord and his good angels were strengthening Jesus as well. And we hear in these short two verses in Gospel of Mark that this was happening and that angels were strengthening him, maybe all the way through, but at least when this time of temptation was over. And you might look also at passages that are kind of a commentary on Jesus' battle with Satan and his victory. Hebrews chapter 2, again toward the end of the New Testament, just before the book of James. Hebrews chapter 2, 14 to 18, and chapter 4, verses 15 to 16. And both of those talk about this battle and struggle and the victory that Christ has won for us. And it was a victorious battle that Christ has won. And even though Satan is around and bothers and troubles, we know we have hope in Christ always and his forgiveness if we fail, but strength to battle Satan ourselves in a better way through God's word and his promises and his gifts for us also. Well, I encourage you to look at these scriptures on your own. And if you can get to a place of worship this weekend, that you would do that and begin the Lenten season in that way. Some churches will also have a service on this coming Wednesday, which is called Ash Wednesday, where we think of our sinfulness, and one of the signs in the ancient world of showing that was to put ashes upon oneself. And it, again, a reminder of our sin, how much we all need our Savior Jesus and what he did for us in all of his life, but particularly in this Lenten season. And again, if you can't get to worship, then I encourage you to read and study as you can and look over these readings, that things that I have given you, and just wish you the God's blessings, strong blessings, and considering all of this and having confidence in Christ and what he's accomplished for us. And the amazing greatness of God's love, where the story of Abraham and his son is a very moving story, and how hard that was for Abraham, and yet he was willing to do that, even though God did not require that at all, and he finds that out at last. But God did make that sacrifice of his own son for us in his love for this world, and that's the... one of the most amazing parts of the whole story of the scriptures and of the good news of Christ as our Lord and Savior, and his willingness to follow his Father's plan and suffer so much for us, paying for all of our sins and for our salvation. Well, the Lord's blessings to all of you.